Certainly.
Okay, let me, on that, if we can have that. Okay.
Okay, just welcome.
Okay.
Thank you. We'd like to welcome you to the Henderson County Animal Services Advisory Committee meeting on January 8th at 5:30 p.m. All members are present, and we'd like to extend a special welcome to our newest member, Dr. Beverly Hargis. And Beverly, do you know everybody on the committee, or not? Everyone, could introduce yourselves. Mike?
Hey, I'm Mike Marstow in the Henderson County Sheriff's Department, and I'm here on an athletic scholarship.
It's going to be like that today.
It's going to be like that.
I didn't follow that.
And I'm Pam Hodges, Red Barn.
Okay.
I'm John Lynn. I beat anorexia.
Only tonight.
Yep.
Gabby Johnson, last meeting out of Other Things to Say.
No one did any consequences.
Mysterious background.
Yeah.
And the first business is officer elections. Do I conduct those, Brad, or do you?
You do, let's say above, but there's no reason why we can't open up nominations.
Okay. Is Sarah coming, or is she on
the board? No, she's on.
Then I would like.
Okay, Mike can do it if you want to.
Well, I prefer if you
could
do it.
Okay. That would
be great.
Let me turn this down.
Hold your ears.
We're all in there well enough.
Okay, we'll start by, first of all, we'll open up nominations for the election of a chairman or chairwoman for the upcoming year. Has anybody got anybody to nominate?
Thank you, no. Thank you. Well, you'd have to double my pay. No.
That would be okay. Easy. Okay.
I could budget that. I could put that in the budget.
So we've got, I don't think the sheriff's department could hold a chair or even vice chair position.
Dr.
on
Cornell's
the board.
Not here.
He's not here.
I think you know what Sarah's suggesting.
And I don't know. I know in the past when he's been nominated, he's declined, but he may feel different. I'm not going to speak for him, and I don't know. Can you nominate somebody and elect them when they're not?
Absolutely.
And I know we did for the vice chair, for Carol.
Yeah,
she was vice chair, and she wasn't present. But I would hesitate to do that for the chair. I think there's just too much to do.
Yeah. I would love to, but honest to goodness, my schedule is not going to allow it. I'm just barely made the last couple of meetings here.
And you've been to here.
No, I didn't have the. Well, yeah, I'm just four blocks down the street here.
That's even better.
Looks good on paper.
That's why you have a vice chair. So when you're not here, you got.
That's
out.
Right. You got a second.
All right, that's fair enough then.
All right.
So, John Lynn's been nominated for position of chairman. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Okay. Congratulations, John.
Thank you.
You want to take Patty? No, y'all don't have to say that.
You can see over the screen.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see over the screen. That works.
Yeah. Okay. So the next order is vice chair, and I'll remind you guys that vice chair does sit in place of the chair position, especially in the dangerous dog hearings. We, in the event that the chair couldn't be here, we would lean on the vice chair to be here in those instances. So that's that would be, with this committee, that would be one of your primary roles more than anything, just to step in during those dangerous dog hearings. So open up nominations for vice chair. Donna, do you accept the nomination?
I will certainly do my best.
All right.
I'll put you in the silver.
You've got a little flexibility that you can come to the
yes.
John can, and I can.
Right. You might be the
ex-witness.
So, can I, anybody? A second. Well, somebody's got to.
I nominated her.
Okay. You second. All in favor?
Aye.
Right. It's
congratulations.
Yeah.
Yay. But I was a newbie to the board. What is this?
That's right. That's how it goes.
Let me just say, if I can, I stepped up. I am not a leader. But I felt it was my turn, so to speak. And
you did a good. You've done a good job. Very good job. Yeah, we appreciate it.
I wanted to say, Brad's a fabulous resource. I mean, the committee has been great in their support. But if I can do anything to help, and I do have some papers, I will send you the document that I read at the beginning of the dangerous dog appeals. I will send those to you, so that has been helpful for me. And if I can do anything, but just know that.
Grant
is wonderful. So, thank you.
We all.
Thank you very much.
With that, Amy, are you ready?
I am ready.
Thank you, Brad.
Y'all, this is our wonderful assistant county manager, Amy Brantley.
I don't usually get the wonderful in front of that, so so I appreciate that. This mic is really hot. I might stand back a little bit from it.
It's hot, really?
I would like to actually thank Brad. I like to tease people. A lot of you have just met me tonight, and you may not know this about me, but apparently our animal services has a dog that is for adoption that is 49 years old.
Yes, we keep them in good health.
Yes, so I really would
and
like to say.
Is that dog years? At the shelter for 9 of those years.
Is that actually dog years? I did not think about that when I was when I was looking at that. I want to thank you guys for having me tonight. We do have 3 members that are retiring after a long time, and Brad actually invited our chairman, Tommy Thompson, to speak to you tonight, who was unable to make it. I was very happy to take his place. So I would say I'm no Tommy Thompson, but your loss is my gain to get to be here tonight. I do have a letter from him that I will read, again from back here so I don't squeal. Animal Services Committee members, it is with pleasure that I draft this letter passing along the thanks of the Board of Commissioners for your years of service to the Animal Control Department, the county, and the animals who have benefited from your hard work and dedication. Public service is a noble calling, and voluntary public service requires an even greater commitment to one's goals. Public service allows us a chance to make a difference in people's and animals, in this case, lives, and to improve our community. We extend a special thank you to the 3 members who have provided that public service, but for whom today is your last meeting: Gabby Johnson, Pam Hodges, and Dr. Sarah Brown. The 3 of you have provided a combined 21 years of service, and we appreciate that the county has been the beneficiary of the gift of your time, energy, and talents. And that is signed by Tommy Thompson, the chairman of the board. I did pull the roster out to figure out that 21 years. Gabby, it looks like somehow we roped you into 8 years of service. Thank you for that. Pam, we roped you into 7, so thank you for that. And Dr. Brown, how'd you get out at 6?
I replaced some poor soul.
Okay, all right. Well. We do thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here tonight and get to meet all of you who I've not gotten to the pleasure of meeting before. So thank you for a few minutes of your time, and I'll let you get on with your business. Brad, I'm going to give you a copy of this letter, and you can do with it as you need to.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, thanks. That was a lot better than last time. I appreciate getting out before 12:30 at night. And not having to see slides. That was really the worst part last time.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. So I guess we'll move into, I do want to...
Public comment?
Yeah, the public comment. We got anybody public comment tonight? Okay.
You guys are doing great.
The only thing is, the food's not gone. Yeah, we've got to eat that food. Yeah. So, did I send everybody meeting notes for this, for October? Right. And so, I guess we need a motion to approve the meeting notes for the October meeting. The best that myself and actually Jonathan's, Dr. Purnell's not here, but if it wasn't for him, I don't know what those notes would look like because I couldn't remember how they were, and something happened with our recording stuff. So, thanks to him, even though he's not here. Actually, I might go out and make sure he's not standing in the parking lot. So
maybe we'll let him in.
Yeah.
Well, I left the door unlocked, and he's got my phone number. So, but anyhow, so I need to have Patty, Pam, and John vote to approve the Chisholm order if they they're so moved to do. I sent them out a long time ago. Okay.
Okay. I'll make a motion.
All right, Chisholm order is approved, and I'll pass those down to. I'll pass them to you, Patty, because you were the chairman at the time that. That we did those. And how about the Hensley order? That would be Patty, Pam, and Donna. Motion to approve the Hensley order is written.
I'll
second. All right. The Hensley order is approved. If you'll pass those down to Patty and let her sign those, and then I'll sign them. So this moves into our education initiatives, and Pam, as you all. Yeah. Did we not approve
No.
those?
No.
Okay. Yeah, well, let's do that.
I second that.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. So the education and educational initiatives, that's kind of been headed up by Dr. Purnell, but since he's not here and Pam had already told me that she was going to take this section also to talk a little bit and let you guys kind of give y'all some numbers as to what they've been doing out the shelter. And I know that you guys know this, but her and Carol Vasilevsky, a former member, have dedicated countless hours to the dog training out at the shelter, several days each month. And I think I've told y'all about the NACO award that they won because of that program. But and then and what I'm probably going to do is I'm also going to hand out, after we get through talking about this, I want to hand out some of our stats, because the members that are rotating off, I want you guys to see what improvements have been made. Because all of you have been here through the time period, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to show you guys of our intake rates, our euthanasia rates, and our in the end, live rates. So I want to show you guys that before you go off the board, so you can sort of see what you've been a part of. So, Pam, would you like to start?
Actually, Carol had these numbers. I'm not quite sure what happened the second half of 2012. It's pretty self-explanatory. We have our one Saturday clinic a month. We're there every Wednesday from 1 to 2 for people who need help with a specific problem. The Thursday night classes, we've kind of changed because we have all these people sign up and then nobody would show up. So now we're doing it as soon as we have five to seven people will go ahead and schedule a class. But it's been really successful this year. As you can tell, that between 2013 and 2014, we way more than doubled the number of dogs that we worked with. And this year, we're planning to, each month with the Saturday clinic, have a different theme, like this year is going to be, you know, like say you got a puppy for Christmas, which we've already had one this week, and we're trying to work up brochures to get out. So, you know, we would appreciate any of you coming during this time period, or if we get our brochures, helping us distribute them, because honestly, even though it looks like we've had a lot of people, we can handle so many more. And this year we did some extra time in December helping people get ready for the holidays. And the bulk of that was, you know, I'm having company. What am I going to do with my dog? So there's a lot of people that need help, and there's a lot of people that just need help with one little problem. And it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to continuing with this program.
So you're able to help people one-on-one?
Yeah.
Okay, for a specific issue or process?
Yeah, jumping, house training, all the basic problems people seem to have. And yeah, we're not behaviorists, but we know enough about, okay, the dog's jumping, and then this time the dog jumps, and you go, oh, you love me, and then the next time you get mad at the dog. I mean, little simple things like that that perhaps people don't even realize they're doing. And as an observer, we can sometimes pinpoint what they're doing wrong or right. So it's a lot of fun, and the canine good citizen, and we have people come out there to work on specific things that they need to fix, for instance, before they can take the therapy dog test. So it's a lot of fun, and we enjoy it, and we can always use more people.
Publicized for this?
I can't think of her name. She's a shelter volunteer that usually gets. No. Kathy, tall, skinny.
Yeah.
Writes up press releases. Oh. And usually, right after one of those comes out, we're swamped.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so. In fact, one little problem we had at one point was people thought that, oh, I get to come have a free class every week for the rest of my life, which technically, yeah, they could, but that's not what it's about. It's to get them started.
Brett was going to get some, he was going to get something else, wasn't he?
Is it a rain call?
Yeah,
and I guess I'm thinking there might be
something
he does have.
Yeah.
Well, that's impressive, Pam. Thank you. Please send along our thanks to Carol too. And and it's not just, you know, this is what you have today, but you guys have also been keeping data out there on a number of things that has been helpful through the years, and having been witness to that through what you've told this committee. What a great body of work. And thank you, and keep up the good work.
thank you. We'll do our best. Carol is really the brains, the compiling the material, and she could teach anything you asked her to teach, because she just has that gift. And I've learned as much from her as any of the people we've helped.
A great resource you guys are for out there, and for everybody who comes in. And I, you know, I live very close to the shelter, and I drive by and I see the signs up when you have the this clinics and stuff like that. And I know it's an easy see when you're in that area, but it's nice to hear about those press releases, and that you have access to that is fantastic.
Which actually, we had to change the sign because people were dropping in for veterinary problems.
Yeah.
It did just say drop in, free drop in clinic.
Yeah. Right.
Had to add the word behavior.
Got this rash.
You know, people would rather die than actually take their dog to a doctor.
I missed a lot of that, but I will tell you that he can tell that when Pam and Carol are working with these folks. Some of them are definitely at their wits' end when they come in, and you can see a lot of people when they're leaving the relief on their face. Mm-hmm. And
It's also a source of entertainment for me because you never know what's going to walk in, and it's definitely interesting to hear Pam and Carol, hear them training the people more than so than the dogs in a lot of cases. It's
always. And to try and maintain your composure and your manners when sometimes you don't want to, you know, you want to rattle some heads, but.
Sometimes you had us come in there to.
Yeah.
Socialize the animals. If you get bit, it's your job.
Well, what you mean by that?
So, you guys got the letter that Dr. Purnell, the response, he kind of summarized in the letter to you guys from the school, not the school board lay, but the lay from the county office. The way that she kind of directed him as far as what routes that could be taken to introduce some kind of education into the school. And then he followed it up with a letter, on November the 11th, that you all got. And I think the thing that maybe to focus on in that letter are the, you know, if we want to talk about it while he's not here, I kind of have reservations about it, but with us only meeting quarterly, I'd like to talk about something on it.
Yeah, the one thing I read out of the letters, and I've got the page up right in front of me, is we were discussing about which option, like which direction to take that we thought could be most effective as far as reaching people. And the three things that Dr. Purnell had written down here was the classroom model.
That's the page I'm on.
Yeah.
Right now.
Uh-huh. That was the thing that I was looking at, was the classroom model, the field trip education option, in the after-school program. Did anybody have any thoughts as far as what they thought would be the most effective out of that? Obviously, if you have a classroom model, you're able to reach all the kids that are in the school at one point in time or another. Wasn't there something that was holding that back as being feasible to do?
People.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I think giving up the school time. Yeah.
It was. It had people resources.
System side, that was their, opposition. Not even the right word, but just their hesitancy with, do we have the time?
Taking the time out.
The curriculum to put this into, and then as Brad said, the resources of people to have these programs.
My thoughts on the after-school program. I think that would kind of be hit or miss whether you would get anybody there some days and not on the others.
Probably you'd get the PSP and stuff.
You hit the nail right on the head with the after school. Andy has done those after school programs, and he said pretty much what you're walking into is a group of kids that are juiced up on sugar and ready to get home.
Ready to get out of there.
It's a kind of a free for all. You don't have their attention. It's kind of like a kill time. They may absorb a little bit of what you're saying, but. I think that certainly some would benefit from it, but it's
I've had really different. I've done a fair number of after school program stuff, and those kids are pretty riveted. Yeah,
and it's their captive audience in a way too.
Yeah. I mean, you bring them some X-rays and worms in a jar and stuff. Man,
X-rays and worms in a jar.
See, I've got good stuff.
But.
He's got the 49-year-old dog.
Yeah.
I think out of the three, what I would be able to accommodate, and this is even my one person plus wherever else we decide to draw our resources from, because we're going to have to have people to do this, and it's going to take time, but it would be the field trip.
I think that would be the easiest to use.
I do too.
Yeah, that and after school makeup stuff, the classroom stuff, man. I just don't see it. I'd love to do it, but
another thing that Andy has just, he and I have talked about this. He said, there's different topics that we've talked about that we could draw from the Moore County stuff, you know, as far as the financial aspects of pet ownership, you know, time, all the things that we, you know, do have material to teach from each of those subjects, and letting the schools know what we have and say, you know, would you like us to come in and cover any of these subjects at any, you know, during school, or, you know, or we could do it if we did it for the field trip, it'd be like different stations, and I just don't know the venue or the place where we would do that.
I think for issues relating to vetting helpers and everything else and all of the standards that are in place for working with children in school system setting, if you had the stations off-site, when the children come to you, they have personnel that's with them, bringing them on that.
Right.
It takes all that out of the equation for us, whereas we can just have stations set up. Like you're saying, I think that's the best way to go all the way around.
Yeah.
Least liability for us in that light, too.
What if you concentrated on age group?
Sure.
Because, I mean, I'm telling you, I've done lots of these things in junior high and high school. They're just interested in the boys and girls in there. You know, if you start with the lower levels, but not too low, like kindergarten, like, you know what I'm saying, and said, okay, well, we're going to start this next year, whatever date, and try to talk to the schools and see if you get that age group to come through. They're more receptive, instead of saying the whole school or the whole, you know what I'm saying? Say, okay, from here on out, we're going to say third graders. And every year, offer up maybe a field trip through the your center at different times through the year to where it's not a burden on Brad and his staff. And then, and that way, you know, offer that up, because they're all-time hunting field trips for these young guys that don't cost money because they're money deprived. I mean, that's just an idea, but concentrate on the age, and every year say, this is the age we're going to hit.
Like,
so that way you've educated every single child before they leave the county.
You think back to your own family, what age did you start chores when you were a kid? And look at target that age, so you can give them education in that.
I like that idea, and Carol's been to some of Mary Cervini's programs, and if you remember, she was talking about how the thing the kids were most interested in was, how do I train my dog to do that? And if you did set up something like that, you know, we could perhaps do a station on teaching your dog to sit or whatever little kids like to learn. And to me, I've got a dodgy dog I've been working with, and children have got to learn how to be safe around dogs, and their parents aren't teaching them that. And that concerns me so much.
Yeah.
You have a little kid run up, can I pet your dog? And well, at least he asked, but you know,
by that time he's already
I carry my cane just to whack the kids.
That's for crowd control.
I like that. I think it's a good idea, and I think the stations and field trips is the way to go. I really wouldn't suggest going into schools.
So that's the least manpower thing on your end too.
Well, it is, and it's also more forgiving in that you've got three volunteers signed up to help you out, and one of them doesn't show up. You know, you got a station there that could be manned maybe by a fill-in, or you know, one person could do two stations. You know, you start going to the school system, and you have a volunteer not show up to do something, you can't come back to that school. I mean, their time's valuable to them. And I know my volunteers, they're wonderful and stuff, but, you know, the about all of our volunteers are retired folks, and they want to come, they will. They decide they don't want to come that day, they're not going to come. So, but
correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Moore County concentrate on the fourth and fifth grade levels with the kids? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
because you've got 10-year-old kids there. That's the point to where they're at least cognizant a little bit more, I think.
And that's just. Dr. Harvest was saying, is, you know, the older elementary.
But if you did that, that's like, we get offers all the time for publications for books that they wanted on morals and stuff like that for kids. And they try to concentrate on that age, but they try to make sure they hit everyone. If you look at all the county elementary schools, which would be what you're looking at, I don't know how many elementary schools are there in this county.
I forget. Not only elementary kids.
About 8? 10, 12,
yeah,
same thing.
See, that way you could have all the time, but there wouldn't be so many of them coming through.
Yeah.
I wouldn't burden you guys. And then if you needed volunteers to come in, they can come in to the stations, like you said.
One hurdle there is, if y'all read that letter carefully, you'll see that it's up to the shelter to provide the cost of transportation for the kids to come there.
Depends on who initiates the field trip, though. In other words, if that's a program offered and the schools are looking for it, they'll shut up.
They're not looking for it. I mean, they haven't approached us for it.
Someone will even take them to Bilo's and walk them through it as a field trip. I don't think they'd be grateful for that.
That's what you're saying, Brad, is if...
Well, the way it's been presented, now it may be different. Mike might know something that I don't, but the way it was presented to Dr. Purnell and the way he communicated through his letters, that if we want to go forward with this to a field trip model, that we would be responsible for paying for the transportation. And I guess that would include, of course, the gas and maybe the bus driver.
I don't know if you let it be known that this field trip is available. Then you've got all these elementary schools bound to get some takers, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if it could be flipped like that, where you'd say, okay, we got this available,
right.
They say, oh yeah, that sounds good, then they would have to flip the bill.
There was a class that would like to come, and you know, Edo's got a, you know, obviously you don't have to
as
do
far
everybody
as that,
in the county
really,
at the fourth grade level or whatever.
I really don't know how that goes.
Kind of like the Farm City Days when we were on that board. You offer a date and a time and a fair, if you will, with different stations, with a lot of advertising with the school systems, homeschool group, you know, Hendersonville Homeschool, Veritas, places like that, and say, look, at this pace of time, we're going to have some volunteers here, and this is what we're going to cover. And see what shows up, really, in some way.
Possible. Another thing I was going to bring up is that, you know, this board, you know, we're functioning as, you know, really this board was established to look at ordinances and things like that. And I think that probably moving forward, since we meet quarterly, we're not going to make a lot of headway at this pace. I think that we may need to start going with the approach that Pam and Carol did. You know, when they wanted to start off with these dog training classes, y'all never mentioned it. I mean, y'all may have talked about it at the board at one of these meetings, but, you know, it got really started because they came out and met with Andy, who is my community outreach coordinator, a position I've got funded, and that got the ball rolling. And that's kind of, I think, where we are at the next step. You know, if we have decided that, you know, B is the option we want to go with to start out with, I think our next step is to get, you know, whoever's wanting to be involved to set up meetings with Andy and start developing some of this material, maybe.
It seems like the key person would be Jonathan, and I hesitate, you know, to suggest anything in his absence. And yet,
right.
I agree with you. It sounds we can't wait till April. Otherwise, you know, maybe in 2017 we'll have something going.
We'll be having this meeting when we're all. But anyway, so I mean, I think in the trying to get this off the ground and actually get something started, I think that would be a good idea to start having some meetings with them. Because if you guys are doing something as the board and are going to offer this to the school as a board, the way my boss has explained to me is you really even these.
Did I bring the flyers in?
Well, anytime you guys want to take action doing something like this, you have to get approval from the Board of Commissioners. And we haven't done any of that on this. And here we've had a dialogue between this committee and the school board here. And we really haven't went through the proper channels on that. So.
Well, maybe it would be right to consider a timeline to start, as an example, start working with the schools or with the kids in the schools, maybe in September, and then go back from there. And what do we want to have in place and agreements, and then meeting with the board and making it getting an approval, and then, you know, just backing it up so that, you know, tick little things off at a time instead of thinking, gosh, we got to get that done. we're going to work on it next time.
But I think with Andy being, you know, this is a position that they've created for education. If Andy or myself or Channel Phillip, we're doing, yeah. I mean, we don't have to go through
it. Basically, he needs to be the link at the county level.
Right. And he's got more insight on what he has time to do, because he's doing stuff with Pam and Carol. I mean, he's got to, you know, y'all do stuff late sometimes, you do stuff during the day, and, you know, he knows what time he has. Well, I do too, but, you know, he is also one of my key employees as far as, you know, our everyday operations out at the shelter. So, he knows what he can do, and if it goes beyond what he thinks that he can't do, then we're going into a situation where we're going to be asking for another position at the shelter, and that's not going to happen. I'm just going to, it's going to happen. So either we drum up a lot of volunteers to help us out, or, you know, we need to channel this through Andy and whoever's interested in getting it off the ground through the county, go through Andy and then talk with him. And myself, I would be.
And while, again, I appreciate everything Jonathan's done, and I really think he should take the lead on this, I'd be happy to help. I'd be happy to meet with Andy, or you, or, you know, Jonathan. I'd be happy to help in that regard. But I think, again, you know, we should try to talk with Jonathan and see.
Right, yeah, because this has kind of been his thing. And like I said, I was reluctant to even talk about it. I feel bad that we're talking about it without him here, but because he's definitely did a lot of work on this so far. But
what do you think? It's feasible.
Right now, I mean, if a school asks Andy to come to their and do a program, he'd do it. I mean, we've done it in the past. It's just, you know, or we want to introduce, you know, what kind of subject matter we want to introduce that he may not cover, things like that. Because mainly what he's doing when he goes in is safety, like how you approach trains, battles, and the importance of rabies vaccines and stuff like that. But with this Moore County, that definitely that dives in a little deeper into, you know, the financial commitment, time commitment. What else was some of the things that they were talking about? Spay neuter. Of course, there again, you have to make sure you're not introducing concepts that they're not familiar with or haven't been introduced to prior to you coming there. Well, I don't want that on my plate.
Doggy weddings.
But
on tape. Just remember that. So I make a motion and we get up with Andy, or have do a timeline study, get up with Andy, and then get up with Jonathan and have him report back what direction we want to go, and it wouldn't be any sooner than this fall.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Well, this isn't on the agenda, but like I said, this is something I wanted to hand out to you guys. It's really not anything to talk about, so you can look at it and see where we were, you know, 2010. Yeah, and if I went back even further, it'd probably be even better, but some of those numbers I'm not real comfortable with. So.
Yeah, no.
Yay. There's a lot of love in cats.
They're cute.
I'm the cat guy here. I got four of them. Love
when
cats.
When we report adoptions, that's also animals that we get into rescues too. Yeah. So it's just easier to group it all together. But you know, as our network with different rescues has broadened, that's lends itself to more opportunity, you know, getting animals.
Well, it's interesting, the dog adoptions have gone down, but percentage-wise,
well, if you look at
better.
The intake numbers,
right,
they,
but
correlates.
The cat intake's gone down, but the adoption's gone up,
yeah,
which is kind of interesting.
That's three adoptions a day on the average.
Yeah.
That's even with us competing with the $5 adoptions in other places.
Yeah, you'd be getting some of those turned down.
Yeah, but we've kind of started a new policy where if we know that they've came from a rescue group or another shelter,
go back, don't they?
They have to take them back to that. We used to take them in and then contact the group and they'd get them, but that's a lot of time and manpower and fuel to take them to these places. So we're telling people, you know, you got them from there, you take them back there.
That's good.
Looking just at a copy of cat euthanizations from 2010 to 2014.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh.
Yeah.
That's even, I mean, when I grouped those in there, those are feral cats as well. Mm-hmm. That's not just, you know, adoptable cats. That's, if I called out the feral cats out of there, our numbers would look even better, but they, in reality, they wouldn't be there because those are still animals that are, you know, having to die. So.
Well done.
Dog is a big refund to cat.
Three claims are.
No cats, huh?
It's a little low. Actually, I had that on one of the things.
You're going to have your kid back to get their cats.
No, but it's
yeah.
Really low. I mean, I'm talking each year 20 to 25 to 30.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
pretty funny.
Sad.
Yeah.
How do you define reclaim on that? Is that when someone's lost their cat or dog or whatever?
And they came in and
okay.
Got funds, yeah. I think a lot of people just think that when a cat leaves, it's going to be impossible to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. But we take a lot of lost cat reports. So we got people out there now. I'd like to, I don't know, I haven't ever really looked at that, but to see how many lost pet reports, break them out between cat and dog and see, you know, where the people are putting their efforts and stuff. So.
You know, those lost cats, a lot of them end up as coyote mans.
Yeah. Well, that's what people assume.
Right.
When in actuality, they may be at the shelter, you know.
Other than Max, I swear I've heard that.
Microchips updated.
Is that it?
Somebody's got
anybody have anything else they want to add?
I'd like to just take a moment to just, you know, with Beverly here and you guys leaving and everything else, on behalf of the Sheriff's Department, I want to really thank you guys for what you do. And just to kind of remind everybody, Brad made mention of it before, what the board does, if you don't know, and how important it is. Number one, we're looking at, as a board, look at ordinances, develop, create, bounce them off as a committee, and then send them after a draft to the county commissioners for approval or disapproval. That's pretty important. As you can see in the news the other day about Buncombe County and what's going on there and some of the things that are going on in our county, here's the other part of this board that's extremely important that you may not know. And that is when Brad calls you for a dangerous dog determination hearing. Let's say we have the dangerous dog ordinance, and we made a determination, and my officers are in here presenting their case. Seems kind of like, yeah, we're going to hear this case and everything else. But the decisions, well, first of all, your willingness to be here to hear that case is extremely important. Because whatever decision you have after that, it goes, if there's an appeal, it goes to state superior court, or our county superior court. And everything that's happened in this is admissible as evidence. That's if we go with the ordinance. Let's just say we skip the ordinance and go with state law. Same process. And that surprised me. I thought we're going to go to district court level and then superior court. Now, read the law. It still comes here, regardless if it's with a county ordinance or not. So that's how important this advisory committee is and the board, and how important it is that when Brad does call for these things, and we really thank you for that. And I thank you for your service in helping us along in that process. So just something to think about.
Well, thank you very much for kind of stealing part of what I wanted to say. We've kind of passed the ordinance for a while here, but always remember that this committee is the advocate for these guys. And if they have a problem or they need something changed, this committee is going to be the one to help them do that. And they know what's going on out there and what we need and what we don't need, what works, what doesn't work. And as Paul said after one of our meetings, they'd love to have ride-alongs.
What's a ride-along?
With the cop.
Oh, like you just sit and go along with you. I'm on a call. Is that what that is?
He said, Paul said what?
I bet for ride-alongs back when they first took over. You can't do that.
I was going to say, I
didn't
think
that was going to be a ride. Wait,
that's fancy.
Look at Marcel's face.
Yeah. He's trying to exact the proper
So anybody wants to have a ride-along with Marsteller.
I've got a piece of paper here.
And, you know, I'll say, too, participating in the hearings, I think, is really, really important part of knowing when it comes time to looking at the ordinance. It's so important to have the experience of what actually is happening and hearing what people have to say in their experiences. And, you know, the bottom line for me is there really aren't many bad animals. It's all about people.
And
you said something, Pam, about, you know, we're not really training the animals, we're training people. And it's all about training the people. So getting that connection and getting those stories and those sad, sad stories.
And that
just it's important to, as a part of his body, participate.
And that the majority of those cases would never have happened if people would just keep their dogs from running at large.
Were you with the one where the guy said, well, how's my dog supposed to know where the property line is?
Yeah.
For real, that's what they said.
But do me a favor as well, is look at state statute, state law in regards to dangerous dogs and everything else, because it may not be the ordinance that you're going to be measuring. It would be state law. Your next stop's Superior Court with that, with your decision. No different than a district court, a lower court. And
so because I haven't looked at the state law of dangerous dog, but is it very, very close.
But
what would be the differences that they should look at?
Just look at that statute, realize that they're, when you look at it in state law and read about the process and what I was talking about, what the advisory board that's set up by or appointed by the county commissioners are required to do, and then the appeal process after that, it's a good read. If that's you, read it. It's great. Yeah,
it was all developed off of state law, this whole model.
Yep. Yeah.
That would be something we would be notified of, you know, prior to a hearing that this was the offense.
I don't have any way of knowing.
But we would tell you.
Yeah, and the county's not held to anything less. We don't have anything less than the state law. We may actually have things that are stronger, more strongly worded than the state law.
Yeah,
so we would never go against it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would never go against it, but we may be doing more.
Well, I hope that it keeps some place people out of court. You know, they come in here. It's an effort to go from this level to the next.
It's like district court. When you go to district court, you get the hearing, you like it or you don't. If you don't, your appeal is to superior.
Have we had situations leave us in our fashion and then go on?
We've got two right now that are supposedly going to superior court, but their superior court's schedule is backed up. That Walter, remember Walter, he's an attorney?
Yeah.
He was appealing to Superior, but I don't know if he got paid.
What's the other guy's name? What's the other people's name? Was that sister and
other?
Starting with the H. Hine.
Hine. So then all the tapes, everything from the hearing, all that stuff would be admissible.
If they appeal, what happens to the dog? Do they have to hold on to it?
They have a time frame, and I don't have it memorized.
So. I'm just curious. I mean, does
there is a time frame on that.
Well, they probably just have to keep it in as if
at their house.
So they have to keep it as if it was.
According to the, depending what way the decision is made.
Yeah. Well, because it's written in there that if they're found at any time not keeping it under the guidelines, whether they're under the appeal process or not, if they're under appeal, they still have to keep it under those guidelines.
They have to keep it under the guidelines.
If they're found not keeping under those guidelines, I think it says in there that you can confiscate the dog and immediately euthanize it. So I don't know.
Good, so it's not a way for them to just...
You wouldn't find me doing that because I don't pass the front page test, but but by law, that's what you can do. Was the last time I read it.
Well, I mean, it's good that they can't use that as just a delay tactic to get out of
it. Sure.
When you talk about appeals, that just brings something to mind, because I remember the first dangerous dog hearing that I was at, his property bordered the church in the church parking lot. Remember that?
Yeah.
Whatever happened with that? But did he appeal? Is he one of the ones who's appealing?
No, he didn't appeal. In fact, he got that dog into a rescue up in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering what became of that, because he was, you know, he was a really nice guy and everything, but he seemed adamant about appealing. And, you know, that's, if there was anybody that I would have thought out of the two of them, that I did, that would be the one.
Yeah. So. No, he didn't. I don't know the other guy you're talking about, Walter.
He was, we sat down here for that one, and he had,
it was a neglect case, and he swore that he had done something, but he didn't have the receipt.
Have you pictures of his horse's feet that were looking like elves?
Oh, it was a large animal.
And I so bad wanted to use the Judge Judy line. Where did you think you were coming today?
Well, he was on the, read to us the... He was an attorney.
His father was a judge.
What was his last name?
Yeah, I have
Walter
Shepherd. Class that
Shepherd.
Day, yeah.
I do remember that.
So he is still appealing that.
That's what he says, but I don't think he can now.
It's been a while.
Yeah, they do have a time.
But that's one thing, is that everything that would happen here is right.
Justice Aggressive.
Really?
That they let him loosen it. Well, they said that they put it in.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They shouldn't have. So they lost.
Make a motion to adjourn.
You have a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
It's been a great 8 years. Thank you, Pam.